Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and praise the Lord, we can be together again, and with the Lord's help, we're going to continue on in this message I've been sharing on the cloud and the fire, that God desires to lead His people. He desires to lead you, brother and sister, just as readily, just as clearly as He did the children of Israel. Now, the children of Israel did not have the Holy Spirit. They were dependent upon guidance, not only through the cloud and the fire, which led them in the wilderness, but also there was the high priest who had the Urim and the Thummim, which gave God's will and direction. So there were literal ways that they could know the will of the Lord, consult God through his priests, that the priesthood that God had raised up. But we are in a new covenant, beloved, and they didn't have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was given to the church on the day of Pentecost. And so we've been looking at the purposes of the cloud and the purposes of the fire, and both are a protective source of blessing, if you will, for God's people. So the fire, just by quick review, it is in Scripture, it's always sacred and holy, referring, of course, to the spiritual fire, whether it's a literal, the candelabra that was burning, the oil lamps that were burning in the sanctuary. The fire shall always be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. That's Leviticus 6:13. It's a sign of God's protection, the Word of God. And then also, fourthly, it is a symbol, fire, of the Holy Spirit. Isaiah 4 and 3 and 4 says, "And it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion shall be called holy." And this is the passage I want you to hear. I'm quoting, "When the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion, and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof by the spirit of judgment and the spirit of burning." And so, beloved, he likens us to clay in a potter's hand. Remember Jeremiah, he went into the potter's house. His hands are forming us. We're also tried as precious silver is tried, as gold is tried in the fire, where the impurities are burned out. And we know that on that glorious day of Pentecost, as recorded in Acts, the second chapter, verse 3, the word says, "And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire." So, beloved, what does it, where are we today? So how does this relate to us? Well, beloved, we have been given the Holy Spirit. When we accept Jesus into our hearts as Savior and express a desire to make Him Lord, in other words, let Him run our lives, because we did such a poor job of doing it ourselves, right? And so when we allow Jesus to become our Savior, our Lord, our spirit is born again. We go from death to life. We are translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. We are born again, and the Holy Spirit resides with us. He is dwells within our spirit. He dwells within our mortal body, which is a temple. Our spirit, of course, is in our body. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. There was also another experience, and if you read carefully the book of Acts, you'll see it's documented there. Paul spoke to the Ephesians. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you have believed? It's a two-part experience, and remember, Peter was just totally amazed when the Lord directed him to go to the house of Cornelius, that He, as well as his family and friends that he had gathered there, as Peter was preaching, they were baptized with the Holy Ghost. They spoke in tongues, just as the Jews had experienced on the day of Pentecost. And so God was making no distinction between Jew and Gentile. And so, beloved, there is that experience of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is a baptism of power. It gives us the power to live the Christian life. That's why the disciples were saved. When he appeared to his disciples after his resurrection, remember, he went through that closed door. They were all amazed. And it says he breathed on them. And he said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." And they were born again. And then his next directions were, he said, "You go to Jerusalem. You stay there. You tarry until you receive the promise of my Father." And the Holy Spirit, and stay there. And of course, that's what they did. And as they were in one accord, that Spirit of the Lord fell, and he was given that glorious, wonderful helper. The Holy Spirit was given to the church. And now there is another expression, a word I'd like to share, called the anointing. For someone who perhaps is new to the Christian faith, they may not understand what that means. Well, to anoint means to apply oil physically to the body. The priests were anointed. Aaron was anointed, and his sons were anointed by Moses. And generally, when someone is called into the ministry, hands are laid upon them by the elders, and they're anointed with anointing oil, which is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. So it's literal physical oil, as we see in scriptures, but also it represents the spiritual empowering of God. And honey, if any of you have walked with the Lord a long time and you're spirit-filled, you know what I'm talking about. There's nothing like the anointing, praise God. Nothing can replicate it. Nothing can duplicate it. It's God's presence. It's like fire shut up in my bones. That's how Jeremiah described it. It's a powerful, literal experience that you can feel literally when a minister steps behind the pulpit to preach, when he delivers God's word, or perhaps when you are sharing God's word, you're witnessing to others. You can feel the power, the empowering of the Holy Spirit. It's not you that speak, but it's the power of God delivering the word of God. Beloved, that's the anointing of God. He said he would baptize us with the Holy Ghost and fire. And then, of course, remember those two disciples? This is, you know, they still hadn't quite realized that Jesus really did what he said he was going to do. He was going to rise on the third day. Remember those two disciples on the road to Emmaus, and Jesus appeared to them in a different form? They didn't recognize him right away. They said, "Oh, please come and stay with us a bit." And as he broke bread, their eyes were opened and they saw Jesus, at which point he totally disappeared. And then they commented in Luke 24:32, "Did not our hearts burn within us?" Well, that, beloved, is an example of the Spirit of God burning within us. That we experience it. And let me share Psalm 39, verses 1 through 4. "And I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. I was dumb with silence. I held my peace, even from good, and my sorrow was stirred. My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue, Lord, make me to know mine end, and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am." Beloved, the anointing makes us passionate about the things of God, makes us passionate about the things God is passionate about. Psalm 119, 139, and 40 says, "My zeal hath consumed me, because mine enemies have forgotten thy words. Thy word, O Lord, is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it." So how can I bring this all together? Well, the Word of God is so important. We've been talking about the cloud of His presence. They experienced that in a physical, literal way through the vast, lonely expanse of the desert place. And, beloved, He will personally show us the way. And, you know, it may only be a cloud the size of a man's hand, but that was enough for Elijah, wasn't it? Now, beloved, we don't see unless God opens our eyes to see the literal cloud of His presence or the fire of His presence. But our eyes can be single, isn't that right? And if our eyes are single, then our whole body shall be filled with light. Our eyes must be single, but they have to be looking at the Lord. They need to be looking up and not down in the pit. Amen. So the fire is no longer a pillar of fire or a burning bush, but it's the very presence of God with us. Beloved, there is promise guidance to us. We may have become insensible to it. You know, sin hardens the heart, but we can pray that God will renew that anointing in us. Praise God. And you know, we also, just as a footnote, we need to be delivered from the expectations of man, the expectations we put upon ourselves. John 2:23-25, this is referencing Jesus. Now when he was in Jerusalem at Passover on the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men, and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. So beloved, the Holy Spirit and you are a majority. Not that we are to disregard godly advice or the counsel of pastors, to hear the instruction of teachers, but the Holy Spirit will lead us if we will allow him to do that. For hear the word of the Lord, my beloved. I shall be unto you all that my word says. I shall be unto you in the spirit, even as that cloud by day and that pillar of fire by night. And you need not be in confusion or distress, for I will show you the way, and I will lead you in a straight path. I will lead you in the path of righteousness for my name's sake. Rejoice and praise your God, for I am with you, and I will lead you in the right way, says the Lord. Praise God. Amen. Well, it's been a joy to share this message with you, and I would like to just share a word of testimony in closing. Dear sister writing from Oakland, just wanted to thank you for your love, sharing, and concern down through the years with your words of prophecy, prayer, and commitment to God through Christ in all obedience to the ministry. Thank you for all the calendars, the Bible daily reading calendars, and sharing your life personally through the letters. I'm learning how to place all worry and cares in the Lord's hand. I will never forget how you saved my life through your letter on the Bride of Christ. Thanks for all your letters, prophecies, and prayers. You are so dedicated to the Lord in your Bible education, college education, and your move to Idaho alone, but not alone, but with the Lord. I could not let another day pass without acknowledging you for all you do. Thank you. Thank you in advance for your continued prayers and loves. Sister writing from Oakland. Praise God. Well, my time is gone. I must bring this broadcast to a close. And until next time, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh.